No. Good. Thank you. Here. Sorry? You can hear now. Right. Okay. right. So we have a carving up there. It's made from wood. It was made by a great friend of ours. He actually used to be governor of Wormwood Scrubs. I wasn't an inmate, don't worry. But he was a great, great friend, and he died about
15 years ago. No, it's all right. I don't know. It was working before.
Mary, with baby Jesus. But also,
no, they're all working all right.
Of Jesus and the cross,
which
helped her get to Jesus. Christmas is seen in the context of the second coming, an eternal life, something that we're going to be joyful about and celebrate together. We've come to the fourth Sunday in Advent, the fourth Sunday of preparing. Does anybody know what the word Advent means? Coming. Yes, that's right. It means coming. And I wonder how we've actually used these 3 weeks in Advent. How have we responded to the call that God is making to our hearts for repentance? To turn our backs on those things that are not right in our life and turn to God through Jesus Christ, so that he can renew us, give us strength, and show us the real depths of his love, dying on that cross and giving us new life. For us all, this Advent should be a time of expectant waiting and preparation for celebrating the birth of Jesus, and also for looking for the return of Jesus at his second coming. Now, I've been looking at some of Tom Wright's reflections on Luke, and he asks a fairly important question. What would make you celebrate wildly without inhibition, and how would you do it? What would make you celebrate wildly without inhibition, and how would you do it? Anybody got anything they're willing to share? Anybody celebrate wildly? Oh, come on. You do.
We were all sitting in the lounge, and when he scored that final hit, we all leapt on our feet, arms in the air, we, yes! And all the windows were open because it was such a hot day, and I don't know what the neighbours thought, but that's one of the things I can think of where I was exuberant in my jaw.
Thank you, Kate. Anybody else? Any? Nobody's ever said it. I can't believe. No? Go on.
Get a bottle of bubbly.
Get a bottle of bubbly? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Can I look forward to that then?
I'm in the past.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay. Okay. Did you raise your hands up in the air and go, yeah?
Yeah, we've done it.
Oh dear. So, yeah, obviously we're feeling a bit inhibited for all sorts of various reasons, but just think about the way we can actually celebrate things. And I found that when I nearly did it, but I thought best not to do it in church. We sang that lovely hymn, Let's Dance, Teach Me to Dance to the Rhythm of Life. I love dancing, celebrating dancing. It was something that I really love. I'm afraid my husband doesn't always like it. But the one time he celebrated without inhibition was when we were on a boat going to India some years ago to work. And we were in a rocky sea. Neither of us were sick, but we got on the dance floor. And he danced beautifully, so I really celebrated then as well, that we were able to walk around the floor. So it's terribly important that we think about what makes us celebrate. And Mary, in what we read today, she was celebrating. She knew there were issues, she knew there were difficulties, she was celebrating. And we have two people today who were faithful to what God wanted for them in their lives. They tried to live their lives according to what God wanted, even though it wasn't at all easy for them. Mary and Elizabeth were both faithful worshippers in the Jewish faith. They both knew their scriptures. They were trying to understand what God was saying to them through the scriptures. And they prayed to God. And of course we know that Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, and they're looking a bit frightened, who was a priest, met with an angel while offering sacrifices in the temple. The angel had told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth were to have a son. And he would be great
and you'll be great in the sight of the Lord. The psalm will be calling all people to repentance, to call back people to God, and to make ready for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah, who was struck dumb until John was born, would have written some of these words down so that Elizabeth knew what was happening. I'm sure there had been some communication going on. And these people were trying to follow God's will, to understand what he was saying to them and to his people, the nation of Israel. Mary and Elizabeth knew their scriptures. They read them to understand what God was saying to them. They knew their psalms. They said their psalms. They took time to be with God and to listen to what he was saying to them. And it's a very important thing for us to remember. Each one of us needs to spend time listening to God, reading the scriptures, understanding what he's saying to us as an individual sometimes and what he's saying to us as a community. Mary and Elizabeth, together with their fellow Jews, shared a dream that one day all that the prophets had promised would come true. One day that God would do what he had said to their earliest ancestors. In Genesis 12, all nations will be blessed through Abraham's family. The scriptures that Mary and Elizabeth knew so well spoke of mercy, they spoke of hope, they spoke of fulfillment, reversal, revolution, victory over evil, and of God coming to the rescue at last. As Mary and Elizabeth met and John leapt in Elizabeth's womb, the two pregnant women realized that something very special was happening. And Mary burst into this wonderful song with which we are all so familiar. You know, she told to it. My soul does magnify the Lord. In this song are words from the scriptures that she would have known since being a child. God has a plan for our world. He uses people, he uses you, he uses me in this plan. And our Old Testament reading is foretelling what God intends to do. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to rule Israel, and they shall live secure. From our readings today, we have a view of God's plan that is spread over many hundreds of years. God patiently prepares the way for his Son, the Son who will save the world and reveal God to those who are on this earth. Micah picks up on Bethlehem. Micah will think that the prophecy has been fulfilled in David, the great king of Israel. But the prophecy indicates that Bethlehem's task is not yet over. As we know, there is more to come. Jesus came to this earth, and sometimes it's difficult for us to realise how many steps there were before Jesus came. We have the story of God's people in the Old Testament, the way in which Elizabeth accepted her role as mother of John, the way in which Mary accepted the disgrace and humiliation of a pregnancy out of wedlock. The list is long, and we probably don't know a lot of the links in God's plan. If people do not do as he wants, if they reject his call on their lives, if they break the links in the chain that God intended, then he waits patiently until the time is right and the link can be mended again. God is never thwarted, and he still does wait patiently. And as I was preparing this sermon and thinking about that, I couldn't help thinking about the turmoil surrounding the Brexit negotiations. It all seemed so chaotic. No agreement on a way forward, even in our own country. Confusion, which way next? Are the right decisions being taken? But God does have a purpose for his people, even though we can't see it immediately. But it isn't always straightforward. Things don't always work out the way that we expect them to. Many scholars agree that the history recorded in the Old Testament began about 2,000 years before Christ. And we see in the Old Testament prophets who spoke God's word, but often did not actually see those prophecies come true.
The last prophet in the Old Testament was around 400 years before John the Baptist appeared. God's chosen people had been waiting a long time for God to fulfill his promise of sending his son. So during Advent, we have been thinking about the second coming of Christ, the time of expectation as well as preparation. The readings challenge us to confront the theme of divine judgment, but we should be looking forward with expectation and joy. We have a place in God's plan. It may be small, it may be large, but we should accept our place in his great and purposive chain of salvation. We should make sure that the link that we are meant to provide is strong, and we do what God asks of us, even though sometimes it may be very difficult. When we fully realise that each one of us has a place in God's plan, then we can dance for joy, as Mary did, even though she was going to be looked and frowned upon because she was pregnant out of marriage. She could dance for joy and for the privilege of being used in God's plan. So we still have a couple of days before Christmas when we can meditate on God's purpose for our lives. And then we can rejoice as we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby in order to live a perfect human existence and to give his life that we might obtain eternal life through him. What a celebration that is today. As we worship together on this last Sunday of Advent, each one of us has a choice. We can actually refuse to see God's sign, the sign of the birth of baby, Jesus, God, with us. Do we wish to recognise that sign? Or do we wish to step out of the story and go our own way? Would we prefer someone else to carry on the story, someone who is not afraid to take a risk and trust in God? Or maybe this morning we could be like Elizabeth and Mary, wanting to follow the way in which God is leading us, despite what we feel the consequences might be. Let's hear God's call to us, knowing that Jesus Christ will be coming again to be our judge. Know that in our heart of hearts, we want to be with that baby in the manger, born as the Son of God, and that we want to help the world around us to see the sign that God has given us. A son, born of a virgin who is called Emmanuel, God with us. God is speaking to each one of us this morning. Elizabeth and Mary were people who knew that there was a God. They were so in tune with God's purposes that they were prepared to risk their reputation to follow God and allowing God to act. Is God showing you and me a sign of something that he wants us to do? Are we ignoring that sign because we do not want our life to be changed? Or are we prepared to welcome that sign and to follow it with all the risks that are involved? The way we know that God is with us is by accepting all that he has to offer us, risking our lives, our reputations, when we hear his word spoken, by trusting his promises and believing that he does know best. Then we have a real feeling of celebrating wildly without inhibition. And this morning in your leaflets, you were given Mary's modern version, translation of Mary's My Soul. My soul declares the Lord is great. And I thought to close today, perhaps we can say this with just giving thanks and celebrating what God has done for us. So we say together, Mary said, my soul declares that the Lord is great. My spirit exults in my Saviour, my God. He saw his servant girl in her humility. From now, I'll be blessed by all peoples to come. The powerful one, whose name is holy, has done great things for me, for you. His mercy extends from father to son, from mother to daughter, for those who fear him. Powerful things he has done with his arm. He rose arrogant to their own cunning. Down from their thrones he hurled the rulers. Up from the earth he raised the humble. The hungry he filled with the fat of the land, but the rich he sent off with nothing to eat. He has rescued his servant Israel, his child, because he remembered his mercy of old. Just as he said to our long ago ancestors, Abraham and his descendants forever. Amen.